day I got saved, according to Ephesians 2, He moved in, made me a house place for God. And since He lives there, it's a holy place. And He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Tonight in John's Gospel, chapter number 14, we'd turn there just a few minutes this evening. John 14, it's so good to see you, good to be in the Lord's house tonight. And we'll stand honor the reading of the Word of God found in John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm going to read two verses tonight for sake of time. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you until you do wrong. No, He may abide with you forever. I'm glad we're sealed, got His stamp of approval on us, and an earnest down payment. He's coming back. He said, I bought you, you're mine. Nothing to worry about. I will abide in you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together with your word. Lord, we want to pray for the families tonight that's called and can't be here, would like to be. You know their needs. You know the unspoken request that's been asked tonight. God, you know all about us. I pray now that you would let the preaching be easy. I thank you for this preacher that's come, his life. Thank you for the ministry that you've put him in. I pray you'd help him in these days, series of meetings. You'd touch him. And oh, God, you'd move on him. Let him be a blessing to your people. Help us now tonight, and we'll be grateful to you in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Talking about the mannerisms of the Holy Ghost. We discussed last week, He's called by many names, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of the Lord God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of glory, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, and the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost is not an attribute of God. He is God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He's a person. He possesses intelligence. He knows everything. He possesses a will. He has power and love and knowledge. He speaks, talks to us. He intercedes for us. He seals us. And He teaches and guides us. We know that He can be grieved when He lives in us and we do something wrong. We make Him sad. We can grieve Him. That's when we're doing something inside of us. Then we can quench Him when He's wanting to do something outside of us. It has to do as a fire extinguisher that we extinguish Him. And when the Spirit of God starts moving, we don't need to be pouring water on it. We need to be fanning the flame. Now, He can be lied to. He possesses divine attributes. He's omnipotent or all power. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's every place. He's spoken of like the wind. It's a mystery of its movement. It's invisible in operations, but we can certainly see the effects of it after that it's gone. I'm glad the wind blew on me one day. I'm glad it still blows in our church. Thank God it's not dead. I'm glad we are in a live church tonight. And so we notice that of the ministries of the Holy Spirit of God. We got into that, not only about the mannerisms, but one of its ministries. And that was that it would oversee a book. And the Holy Spirit is no less God, so He's overseen some things. The Father would have a people, have a place and a power. The Son would have a ministry, a creation ministry and a church ministry and a crowning ministry. But the Spirit of God would oversee a book. A birth and a bride. And we'll notice in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He's preserved it, took over 40 writers, 1,700 years to write 66 books to complete the Word of God in the King James Bible that we have tonight. And so one of the ministries of the Holy Ghost was that He would oversee a book. He wrote the Word of God. Now I'm glad it's inspired. You say, preacher, you believe it? I believe all of it tonight. You know, you'll notice this, the devil, one of the devil's biggest transitions in this culture, one of the biggest battlements that the devil has acquired in our day and hour, not so much as shutting churches down or quit letting people pray, but he's tried to get the Word of God out of the hands of the people. If he could not change from the King James Bible, he couldn't get them to change to go to another type Bible. He would bring in things of entertainment, anything to keep the Word of God out of the hands of God's people. You see, when this Word goes forth, it's not the man declaring the Word. It is the Word, because it is alive and it does something to us and it changes us and challenges us. And so the Holy Spirit has had a great ministry to oversee this book. And let me tell you, friend, this book is going to stand when the world's burning. And this book will do to guide your whole life by it. It's a mirror. When I look in it, I see how short I really am, how I come up so short of the Christian life. It's manna. It feeds us, thank God. And I'm glad that I have a copy of the Word of God. But its ministry, not only does it have a book ministry, but the Holy Ghost has had a birth ministry. And that the Spirit of God was in charge of, the Spirit of God protected the bloodline of Israel all through the Old Testament. If you follow through the genealogy in Matthew's Gospel, you'll find He kept pure the Jewish race for the purpose of the Redeemer. All the way back to Adam to the garden, up until the birth of Christ, Joseph, the earthly father, was a descendant of David through Solomon. Now God the Spirit commanded a procedure in Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse 14. Let's look here what the Holy Spirit penned down. Isaiah 7 and verse number 14. Turn me down just a little bit, Brother Will, if you would. The Bible said, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, isn't it amazing that the Spirit commanded the procedure of the birth more than 700 years before Christ came to pass? Now, there are many perversions that have listed here as a young woman or a maiden. But let me tell you, it's a big difference in a young woman or a young maiden having a baby and a virgin having a baby. You see, it took a miraculous birth. Can I tell you, the bloodline went to heaven. May I say, the Holy Ghost was conceived in her womb, brought forth the perfect Son of God. A lot of people said, well, he could have sinned, but he didn't know, friend. He could have never sinned, for he was God, manifested in the flesh, come down here to get on a cross that me and you could go free tonight. And oh, we must stand on this procedure. We see not only that the Spirit of God commanded a procedure, but the Spirit of God chose a place in Micah chapter number 5, if you'll turn to the right in your Bible. Micah 5, verse 2, he talked about the place. He said, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now the Spirit commanded a procedure. And then he commanded a place. And then he conceived the pregnancy. In Luke chapter number 1 and verse 34, I love this text. A lot of times we only read it around Christmas, but it'd do you good to read it every day. The Bible said, then said Mary to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Look in verse 37. For with God, don't forget about this, friend. It's still in the Bible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now that covers all the bases tonight. A lot of you may not have much hope in a situation that you're lying in tonight. But you remember this, it's up to me and you, we'd be in sinking sand. But thank God, whatever's out yonder in front of us, there's a sovereign God of heaven that'll let it come our way. And I guarantee you, He'll be a God enough in whatever comes. I praise Him and thank Him that He is God enough tonight. And so the Spirit chose a place. It conceived the pregnancy. Then God, the Spirit, covered them with protection. He protected this young child. In Luke 2, verses 1 through 7, they came into town on a lowly little donkey, brought them 100 miles. Can you imagine Mary, much with child, had left 100 miles to come to this little place of Bethlehem to be born. The Holy Ghost covered them with great protection. And so we've seen that now He's very involved in the birth of the Son of God. So in His ministry, He has been in charge of a perfect book. Don't ever let anybody tell you this has got mistakes in it. It's preserved. I wouldn't even discuss it. I say you can just be a dummy if you want to be a dummy. I got the Word of God. I don't need another copy. I got the Word of God tonight. You say, well, it cuts. It's supposed to cut. And if it didn't cut, it wouldn't be the Word of God. So certainly the Holy Ghost, He's been in charge of a perfect book. He's been in charge of a profound birth. There, the Virgin Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost, brought forth the Christ child. But lastly, tonight I'd like to deal with, He's also involved into a particular bride. I'd like to say this about the Holy Ghost. He has an inviting ministry. In John 6 and 44, we must always remember this about the Spirit of God. Here, we're sure to come upon this verse in our Bible. For He says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I'll raise him up at the last day. The Holy Spirit must draw the sinner to Him. The Holy Spirit must not only convict you, but it must convince you that you are a sinner and on your way to hell. You'll not get saved on your accord. You'll not get saved at your own timing. You'll get saved when the Holy Ghost bids you come. John 6:44 has been taken lightly. Many soul-winning seminars, they know nothing about the Holy Ghost. Friend, it's more than a 1, 2, 3, come follow me. It's a lot more than just say this after me. It's a life-changing experience. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are becoming new. Thank God for the day that He drew me by His love and grace and His marvelous mercy. He has an inviting ministry. In John chapter number 6 and verse number 65, the Bible said, He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then we find in John 12 and verse number 32 on His inviting ministry. I'm glad He's inviting sinners tonight. He said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I'm glad that word is in there, that I will draw all men unto me. Listen to me, Liberty Baptist Church. Maybe the reason we don't see more people saved, maybe we're not lifting Him high enough. Can I encourage you tonight, when the Holy Ghost inspires you to stand up and magnify the Lamb of God, boy, just do His bidding. Just mind the Lord. You may be the key to a whole service. Boy, if God wanted me to do something, I'd be about it tonight. Let me tell you, if you're going to do something for Him, you better be getting busy. This thing, friend, is a coming down. We're going home before long, and you don't have to look far. You don't have to read many newspapers. Jesus is coming. He said in the last days, perilous times shall come. And guess what? He is a coming. Oh, our Lord, He is coming. And so we must lift Him high and holy. I don't think we can lift Him high enough. Look what the verse says. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Lift Him high. We want every man, every woman, boy, and girl that come in the doors of this place would see Christ in a way they've never seen Him before. He said, I'd draw all men to me if you'd just magnify me, brag on me. Preachers, if you never know what to preach, let me give you a good text. It's Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I give you a good text to shut down with. Jesus loves sinners. I'm glad of that tonight. And so we see He has an inviting ministry. In John 16 and verse number 7 about His inviting ministry. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send Him to you. And when He is come, He'll reprove the world of sin. Reprove means to uncover or to reveal. He said, I will reveal this thing of sin by the Holy Ghost. And He said, I will reveal righteousness, just how holy God is. You know, one of the biggest jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convince me and you that we're lost. Somebody said in the prayer room tonight, they've been witnessing to somebody, and somebody said, well, I'm doing just fine. Boy, you know what we ought to be praying? That the Holy Ghost would walk in and convince them that everything ain't fine, friend. Boy, that is His job, and we need Him in this church. Oh, we don't want to grieve Him. We don't want to shun Him. We want to welcome the Holy Ghost to be in our midst, for He is God. And boy, He magnifies the Son of God. So certainly tonight, He will reveal sin, reveal righteousness, and judgment. See, that's the problem with sinners today. They forgot about a payday someday. And so the Bible said that He would reveal that of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So that's His inviting ministry. I'm glad there's an invitation to sinners. Well, preacher, will God save me? Sure will. How do I know God's dealing with me? Do you want to be saved? Then He's dealing with you. You see, He said that He paid a ransom for all. He died for me and you. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care what you've done or how long you've been doing it. The blood of Jesus not only will, but can wash you clean. And I know that tonight. Now, His inviting ministry. Then He has an instructing ministry. Not many people realize this, but let's look at the early church in Acts chapter number 16, which is relevant for us in this day and hour in the instructing ministry of the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul is wanting to go one place, and God's wanting him to go another. And we find now in Acts 16 and verse number 6, we find a passage that tells us there's an instructing ministry of the Holy Ghost. Now, I told you last week, God showed me when I pulled out of this subdivision one day where this church would go. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is in the instructing business. When they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Messiah, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. In other words, they wanted to go to Asia, but the Holy Ghost, no doubt, grieved them. The Holy Ghost directed them over toward Europe. And because that turning point of the Holy Ghost is why me and you can stand in a church tonight. Of course, our forefathers come from them European countries and come over here and establish the Word of God. I'm glad the Holy Ghost had us in mind when He turned the Apostle Paul to go toward Europe. The Bible said in verse 12, now when He turned them, and He came loosened from Troas in 11, we came with a straight course, the next day to Neapolis.
and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women that resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. Now watch this, something changes now. Not only is there an inviting ministry and an instructing ministry, but notice now there becomes an introducing ministry. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit introduces us to Christ. He breaks in on us. And I sure am glad He come my way. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Verse 16, his introducing ministry. Came to pass as we went to prayer, there was a certain damsel possessed of the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned, said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them to the marketplace of the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs that are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Well, they take them, and they beat them, and they put them in prison. Verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword, would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. He called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And I'm glad somebody knowed what to say. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. What's going on, preacher? There's an introducing ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, these people were minding their own business, doing all that they know to do. The Holy Spirit took Paul and Silas, their companions, wanting to go over to Asia, turned unto Europe, and came down to this little town at Philippi. There was a woman, a seller of purple, got saved there. There's a little fortune teller girl got saved there. And there that night the jailer got arrested and got saved by the good grace of God. Well, that was his introducing ministry. Aren't you glad one day that he came by and introduced you to Christ? Did you know every one of us would die and go to hell in our sins if he did not have this introducing ministry? You know, that's what we need to be praying for our young ones here. I was praying this week about some of our younger kids here that need to be saved. It seems like they're of age enough to know. We need to pray that God would break in on them in the Holy Ghost and show them that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. Oh, I sure am glad that He has introduced in ministry. And you know, He always uses somebody. Isn't it amazing the small things that God uses to do big things? I'm glad one day that He brought an old preacher to my house and introduced me to him. But you see, it took the Holy Spirit to break in on me in His introducing ministry. And then you'll notice this in the book of Philippians, if you'll turn there tonight, over in the little book of Philippians. And let's notice something that's there that we see not only His introducing ministry, but we find Him in an involving ministry. Philippians 1, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident, here's this verse, of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, his involving ministry. I want to show you something now, if I could. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. And I want to try to find this and point this out to you this evening. Something I believe that would be a help to you in 2 Thessalonians. Let's take a look. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 3 on this involving ministry. Now, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. What's he talking about? Well, when he moves in, he's doing a work. And let me tell you what he's always doing. He's always conforming us to be in the image of his Son. He's wanting us to be like Christ. And so in this involving ministry, you'll notice verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now I want to talk a minute about our convictions. Where men get in trouble as they're preaching their convictions, but a lot of times they're nobody else's conviction. The best thing I know to say is, God won't allow me to have a bike, but he may let you have a garage full of. It don't mean it's wrong for you to have one. It just means it's wrong for me to have one. Because see, it's my sanctification. Your sanctification is different than mine. And what we need to be, remember, this word sanctification, it has a word to do with purity, to be set apart, Christ-like. Now listen, we didn't get where we are in the Lord overnight. It took a while. And as young Christians, we ought to be sitting there as a tender plant. We ought to be watering them, feeding them, being sure that the storms don't break them off. We ought to be seeing about young Christians. And so this is the will of God, even your sanctification. It has to do with His involving ministry. The only way we're going to grow in the Lord is to give the Holy Ghost the right of way. Now, when God is wanting you to do, we've got to realize that we can only please God by faith. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit in this involving ministry is wanting to take us to new levels with Christ. But within that, we've got to yield to Him and be filled with the Spirit of God. Remember, this is your sanctification. Where are you in that verse tonight? Are you further than you used to be? You ought to be. But always remember this, your sanctification is nobody else's. It's yours, and it's mine. And so we see His involving ministry. I'm glad He's involved in our life. Did you know that the Holy Ghost wants the best for me and you? Have you ever noticed this, when you wanted to do something, you just didn't have peace with God to do it? He knows what's beyond the red light change. He knows what's around the curve. He knows what's over the hill. And we better be listening to Him, because He knows all truth. I'm glad He's involved in my life. I'm glad He's involved in our church. You know, we have a missionary here tonight. We've always been pretty mission-minded, but I'd went to a place in Louisiana, and I'd seen a church very involved in missions, and I'd seen how God was blessing their ministry. We came back here, and we started this Macedonia missions. I'm glad God's involved in ministry. And I'm glad that the Holy Ghost directs us in the areas that we need to go. You know, a lot of ministries could not operate the way we do. But the reason we do, because God is involved here and the Holy Ghost is directing us, and it's for this ministry, this place. It may not work no place else, but it works here. And I thank God that He's involved in our ministry. I'm glad He's involved in individuals. Now, I'm going to tell you, no doubt, if God lives in us, you ought to be changing. He's a God of fire. If God lives in me and you, ought to be some things about us that's burning up. You know, I got to thinking about some things since I got saved that God's got off of me.
I mean, I have went from in the things of the world to being scared to death of the things of the world. He's cleaned up my mouth most of the time. Amen. Go on, you little redneck. You're going to shake your head with your preacher tonight. I said most of the time. Sometimes I got a smart mouth. And sometimes I say things I don't need to say. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd hate to know that I could go out here tonight and pour a can of Budweiser down on the Holy Ghost to think what kind of kicking he'd do inside me. And so let me tell you, if the God of fire lives in you, ought to be some things around you burning up. And I'm glad tonight he's involved in our personal ministry. And then in John 10:9, he has an interrupting ministry. You'll notice this. It might help some of you. Now, we use this in John 10:9. I want to read it and then make a statement about the eagle. But John 10, verse number 9, he said, "I am the door." That's what Jesus said. And by the way, that's not changed tonight. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And here it is. "He shall go in and out and find pasture." Now, he has an interrupting ministry. I was real happy where I was going to church. But you know something? I noticed I wasn't getting what I really needed. God started ruffling my nest. You know the way that the eagle makes those little eaglets leave that nest because it's so comfy? She's bringing all the food, all the water there they need. That nest is lined with comfort. You know the way that she gets those eagles to fly out of that nest? She starts pulling the liner out of that nest and making that nest uncomfortable. Start little things that used to didn't bother you or go to bothering you. And the places that you used to be, God had to make your nest get real bad in order to move you. But let me tell you, when He moved you, He wasn't decreasing you. He was advancing you. People got upset with you. People didn't understand why you would leave their church. Well, let me tell you what God's will for us is that we'd go in and out and find pasture. He wants His sheep to eat. He wants His sheep to drink. And let me tell you, there's more to going to church than voting and fussing and fighting. Amen. We ain't got to vote on nothing. Let's just follow the Holy Ghost and do what He says do. And then we ain't got to worry about it. And if we'll just give all our money away to missions, we ain't got nothing for Mr. Moss back to fight over. "And we shall go in and out and find pasture." He's interrupted me. You better thank God for the day He interrupted you and put you in a good place. I thank God for the day He did. And then, lastly, His inspiring ministry. What are you talking about? Well, let's look in Revelation 3:20, and we're fixing to watch Him leave out of sight. Revelation 3:20, the Holy Ghost is here in this world. We're living in the last days, the last church age of Laodicea. The Lord is soon to come. And we see that His work is winding down. We find now in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in him and I'll sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne." And here it is, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Then he says in chapter 4:1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice I heard, it was as of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I'll show you the things which must be hereafter." Now, go to 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the last place we go tonight. 2 Thessalonians 2:2 and 7. The Holy Spirit tonight has an instructing ministry, has an inviting ministry, has an introducing ministry, an involving ministry, an interrupting ministry. But I'm going to tell you, one day He's going to minister for the last time.
2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 7, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. We don't have to read many newspapers to see. We're in the last days. There's wickedness on every hand. Only he who now letteth will let. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Ghost is here in this world. And you know what's keeping this world together? Is you and me, Christians, that the Holy Spirit is living in. And you know what? In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, after the Laodicean church age, this church is raptured out of this world. All the saved go home to be with the Lord. The Holy Spirit will be taken out of this place. Look what he says. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then the Antichrist, that wicked one, shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now I want to give you this thought. The Holy Ghost protects us. He's God. The Bible said that the angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that fear him. I wonder how many times God has intervened on me and you and we knew nothing about it. I wonder when something got really close to devastation in our life, God is so good and merciful. By the Holy Ghost prevented some things happening. Well, he said when this church age is over and we're taken up out of here. Let's look at that just a second. We got time. It's just a little bit after. Let's go there, 1 Thessalonians 4. Boy, you're talking about a wonderful passage of Scripture to understand. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And look at this in verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, not soul sleep, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's talking about this body, which sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. He's bringing the souls of those that have already died before that are with him, he's bringing them back with him. Now watch. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or we shall not go before them which are asleep. They're getting up. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ in the graveyard shall rise first. What a sight. It's going to look like plowed fields all across this country. Then we which are alive spiritually and remain physically still alive, we not in the graveyard in the body, said, we shall be caught up together with them. Who? Those that have died in the Lord before us, that their soul is with him. He's bringing those souls back with him. And that body's getting up out of the graveyard. Going to go up and meet the soul with Christ. Going to get a glorified body. We're going to be changed. And we're going to go up together. And I'm telling you, where people don't even know where people was buried, stuck down in wells, nobody knows where they was, but God knows where they are. Those that's been pushed overboard at sea, nobody knew what happened. God's got it wrote down. You know, he's a big God. You ever thought about God's daily life? Wouldn't that be a chore just to manage the people here tonight in our prayer life every day? Could you manage trying to get something for that corner and that corner and this corner and this corner? But there's a God in heaven sitting on a throne with His Son on the right hand. He's listening to every one of His young'uns, case by case. He ain't skipping over one of you. There's a God that loves us so much. He knows where we all are, where we're all going, what we're saying, and He's got His watching eye about every one of His blessed young'uns. And He's a-coming back. And when He is, I want to be right. I'm glad I've been saved. Thank God, best day of my life when I got saved. But I want to be right. I want to be right with God, and I want to be right with you, and I want to be right with my neighbor. I want to be right when He comes back. And boy, all those saints that's gone on to be with the Lord, they're going to get up out of that graveyard. Going to get a glorified body. And 7 years is going to unleash on this world like it's never seen before of the great tribulation. 3.5 years of hard times, but then 3.5 years like this world has never seen. Boy, here, this Antichrist will raise up a government. Everybody will think He's the anointed one. Everybody will think He's the Savior. He'll trick them that they would believe a lie is what the Bible said. Then we coming back with Him on them horses. You say, preacher, I don't ride horses. If you say, you'll learn. We're going to rule and reign in this world down here 1,000 years in a perfect world. The devil will be chained. Chained. That's where the leopard and the lamb will lie down together, the great millennial kingdom. What will we be doing, preacher? Well, it depends on what we've done in this walk where He puts us in that government. And then, after that 1,000-year reign, the devil is loosed for a season. He's going to take and cast him in the lake of fire, and hell's going to give up the dead in it. They'll be judged and cast in the lake of fire. And we're going to the heavenly city. We'll have our glorified bodies, and you'll be so glad that you trusted Christ. Let me tell you, friend, your worst day here is better than the worst day of your life. What are you talking about? I'm talking about if you're saved tonight, the worst day of your life is still the best day that anybody would ever have in hell. Oh, I'm glad He saved us. It's good to be saved. I know it's some bad days, but really, we ain't had a bad day. We saved. And they're all a good day because Christ lives in us. Boy, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I love Him tonight. There's coming a winding down time. The Holy Ghost will be pulled out of this world. What will He do, preacher? I don't know. But I can tell you this. He won't be in Liberty Baptist Church because He's leaving with us. And I thank God for it. Stand with us tonight. Appreciate you being here. I'm glad He's overseeing a bride.